Each year, the Madison Trust for Historic Preservation offers special tours of historic sites in and around Madison. And this year, the tour will feature UW-Madison Agriculture Campus. Larry Mueller here again. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Net. Our guest today developed the tour, and he is Peter Gottlieb. Peter served as president of the Society of American Archivists. Nearly 20 years was the Wisconsin State Archivist with the Wisconsin Historical Society. And so it's great to have him along as we take a look at the history of the buildings on the Ag campus. You may have a favorite building on the campus. Have you participated in any of the Madison Trust for Historic Preservation tours? I hope you'll join in the conversation. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Love to hear from you. Peter Gottlieb, welcome.
Thanks. Great to be here.
Great to have you with us. This sounds like a great tour. Why did you select the agriculture buildings on campus?
Well, I'm a graduate of UW-Madison, class of 1971. I have often walked on that part of campus and looked at the names on the buildings, never knew much about what went on there or about how the buildings got to be there. And it just seemed to me to be a part of campus that maybe other people were interested in and, like me, didn't know much about.
So you decided to do it. And there's a fair amount of work, I imagine, in developing a tour like this.
Well, you know, it really isn't as difficult as it might seem. The sources of the information about the buildings and about the history of the university and the Ag campus are all pretty readily available. Because of the work I had done, I knew some people that I could talk to and some places I could go look for the source information, and then it was just a matter of putting it together.
Yeah. What buildings are included?
Well, the tour starts off at the Dean's House, which is the beautiful domestic building that's right next to the Allen Centennial Gardens. And then we wend our way kind of up and over the hill, stopping at a few other buildings on our way to Ag Hall, right at the head of Henry Mall. And then we walk down Linden Street and look at the Stock Pavilion and a couple of the old barn buildings.
Yeah, there's some beautiful old buildings there. And they're all located on the west end of the UW campus.
Right, just to the west of Bascom Hill.
Well, let's talk about some of those. One of the buildings I've always liked is the Landmark Dairy Barn. That's a wonderful building. Why was that building built to begin with?
Well, it was built in 1898 to serve the experiment station, which had been established in the 1880s, and that needed to have some space to work with farm animals. The university proposed and the legislature provided funding for this building, which became quite a remarkable building. And of all the buildings on the tour, it's the only one that is listed listed as a national historical landmark.
Who designed that building? Do you know?
It was designed by, J.T.W. Jennings, who was the supervising architect for UW-Madison, but actually Ag School faculty had a lot to do with the design of the interior of the building.
It is marvelous. I don't even know how to describe it. A marvelous, marvelous large building.
Its design was very interesting from the very beginning because the architect was inspired by the architecture of barns in France and incorporated some of the design elements and also built a remarkable stone silo at the northeast corner of that building, which is still there looking pretty much the way it did In the original, although many other parts of the original building have been altered in the intervening years.
Yeah, I'll bet that silo had some input from the Department of Agricultural Engineering on the campus.
It did, because that department, which part of the Ag School, promoted cylindrical silos as a better way to store feed for farm animals.
Yeah, I remember reading some of the early history of that, where many farmers were not in favor of it because they thought that the material produced, the fermentation and everything, would not be good for their cattle.
And experiments done in at the Ag School and in some of the buildings that are on the tour were very instrumental in changing the minds of farmers and other proponents of the older way of storing grain.
What was that particular? What research went on in that particular building, that dairy barn?
Well, they concentrated on artificial insemination. The breeding of better strains of dairy animals and other animals. They experimented in the raising of young animals there into healthy adults and those kinds of things.
Yeah, and how's it used now?
I think it is still used for animal breeding purposes. Its uses have, however, changed in many ways. Mm. One of the remarkable things about the building in its early years is that it had a ramp that went up to the western end, where there were enormous double doors that could open and allow a team-drawn wagon to be pulled inside on the upper level of the barn and dump a load of hay, which could then be moved into storage areas of the barn. Obviously, the ramp is long gone, and it's not used for those purposes anymore. But it does still serve the Ag School for studies of farm animals.
Somebody said an elephant could have probably walked up that ramp.
Yes, the scale was really quite amazing. And, you know, the other wonderful thing about a building like that is that it's off the beaten track.
Yeah.
And so many people, even those who, like me, were fairly familiar with the West End of campus, don't really know about it and don't stop to look at it. And that's what this tour is meant to do, to help people discover some wonderful old buildings that have played, that are not only architecturally interesting, but have played an important part in the history of the university and of the state.
Absolutely. Well, let's take a call. By the way, you can join in, too. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Dave in Augusta up now. Dave, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hey, good morning. Being a former delivery driver on campus for all those years, I really appreciated the way this building was set back on the hill, and that's Ag Hall at 1450 Linden Drive. Larry, you know which one that is.
Oh, yeah. I have an office not far from there.
I know you do. And it's got the big stone pillars in front with the grand staircase going up. Just beautiful building. The other one would be the Red Gym, which I think has a medieval look to it with the turrets and stuff, a lot of history with that. And I'm going to throw one more in there, and that's North Hall. That's the oldest building on campus. Used to be a dormitory back in the 1800s. I think John Muir actually stayed at that building when he was going to school, which is now, I think, it's poli sci, isn't it, Larry?
I believe there's some political science. Peter, you may know this better than I.
I really don't. I hate to sound overly specialized, but my best knowledge of the university buildings does not include those Bascom Hill ones. But let me just say that the Madison Trust for Historic Preservation does offer a tour of Bascom Hill. I believe there is a tour that you can go on one of the Saturday mornings in September. So if you're interested in that, you can go to the website, MadisonPreservation.org, and check out when that tour is being offered and learn a little bit more about that very interesting part of campus.
That Red Gym, though, I think there was a pool, or probably still is a pool there, and as a freshman, we all had to take a swimming class. And
I think the pool is gone now. In fact, it's made it to offices. So.
I think the pool is. I think you're right. The pool is gone. Now it's a student center that really does a lot of remarkable work with all of the students. But I have some kind of fond memories from that place.
Actually, the drive, the walk on the sidewalk between the observatory and Observatory Drive, and then you go behind one of the oldest buildings on campus, there's a bur oak tree, which I think is still there. They estimate that to be almost 300 years old, and it overlooks the lake. Thank you, Larry.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. I appreciate your call very much. Visiting with Peter Gottlieb today as we talk about the historic ag buildings. It's probably already talking about some of the other buildings on campus as well. We'll be back right after the news. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. We're taking a look at some of the historic buildings on the UW-Madison campus today in the College of Ag and Life Sciences. Larry Mueller here. My guest today is Peter Gottlieb. Peter developed a tour of some of these buildings for the Madison Trust for Historic Preservation. He served as president of the Society of American Archivists for about 20 years, was the Wisconsin State Archivist with the Wisconsin Historical Society. So great to have him along, and I hope you'll join in. Do you have a favorite building, a historic building, campus building, maybe a story to share with some of the buildings here that we're talking about today? I'd love to hear from you. Join in our conversation at 1-800-642-1234. You can also email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Again, love to hear from you, so give a call or post something up for us. You know, one of the, you mentioned earlier, the Dean's House, and that's a lovely old building, and what a setting for it there with the lovely flowers and so forth that are around it.
Yeah, it is quite beautiful, and there's a wonderful story that goes along with that, because in the early 1890s, the first dean of the College of Agriculture, William Henry, had accomplished so much at the University of Wisconsin that he was being recruited by other universities around the country. And the president of the university asked him what UW could do to keep him here and on our campus. And Henry, among other things, suggested that having a residence built for him and his family would
seal
the
deal.
Trick. And that's how that house came about. But it's a lovely Queen Anne-style house that was not originally surrounded by flower gardens. It was built by design right at the edge of the Ag Experiment Station. And early pictures of that house show it isolated, sitting off by itself in the middle of what are clearly looking like farm fields. So its setting has changed quite a bit, but it remains really quite a handsome building.
And Henry lived in that building long after he retired.
Well, he lived there, I think, for about 10 years. His health failed, and he left the university in 1907 to move to California. But that house continued to serve as a residence for the deans of the School of Agriculture. The longest resident that it had was E.B. Fred, who was, I believe, originally the dean of the College of Agriculture, then became president of the university and requested the university to be allowed to continue living there in that house. And so he did until, I think, 1970 or so.
Yeah, I think he would walk up to Bascom Hall pretty much every day. You would see him leaving his home and walking up there.
That's a pretty nice walk to work, you know, say.
I guess so. Yeah. I was confusing Henry and Fred there when I talked about longevity, because Fred was there. E.B. Fred was there for a long, long time. Once he passed,
then the purpose of the building changed.
Yeah,
and It I can't recite to you, unfortunately, the purposes that it's been put to, but it is still used by the university and I believe by the Ag School.
It's a wonderful building. Well, Tab and Mazamani up next. Hi, thank you for calling.
Yeah, good morning. My story is the Red Gym. Back in 1967, when I came to UW-Madison, we were able to swim in the pool naked and play handball on the third floor. And just so you know, all the piping for filling up the pool was made out of plywood, painted. And my question to your guest is, you have any idea what's going to happen now that Amazon is going to use the Red Gym as a distribution point for their products? Thank you, and I'll take your answer on off the air.
Yeah, I have no idea about that, Peter.
Nor do I. Like other people, have heard about the plans to have an Amazon drop site, pickup site at the Red Gym, but I don't know what space they're going to use for that or whether it's going to change the uses of the building otherwise.
I'll tell one quick story on the gym. When I was there were lockers there when I was a freshman in high school, and the lockers were about 6 inches off the floor, and I dropped my ring and it went underneath, and I ducked down, and there was a whole bunch of change, all with dust on it, and a watch that a Waltham watch that was under there. It had been there obviously a long, long time. I took it out and was tried to die, and it started to work. And my a jeweler on State Street said, "You know, that's a very expensive watch. Came from the East Coast, probably New York." And so I wore it for a little while, and my dad admired it, so I gave it to him. And he wore that watch every day for the rest of his life.
Well, you made out really well on that.
Yeah. he died. When he died, my mother took it up, and she wore it, I think, most of her days as well. So that's my story from there. Let's turn. I've got some other stories, too, but there's one of the tours on the building is the... Well, some people call the Coliseum. The real name of that is something different, I think. Yeah.
The name of the building is the Stock Pavilion.
Yeah.
It was built in 1909 and was used as a place to exhibit farm animals, to have shows of farm animals. This is in the age before tractors were commonly used, so horses and other draft animals were extremely important to farmers. And they and the university and the Ag School wanted a place where they could have farm animal shows, and that was the specific purpose for the Stock Pavilion. But at the time it was built, it was the largest indoor space, assembly space of any kind that existed on the campus and remained that way until the 1930s when the field house was built. And so, and they discovered after, they hadn't intended it to be this way, I don't think, but they discovered after the building was open that the acoustics inside of it were quite good.
Yes.
And so it became a venue for various kinds of performances, musical performances, a place where lecturers who came to campus and would attract a large audience would give their talks. And so a variety of very famous people have performed at the Stock Pavilion, and a president of the university therefore named it the Coliseum because of the different uses the building served the campus over the years. And even in the 1960s, when I was a student, an undergraduate at the University of Wisconsin, it was still being used for rehearsals, at least, of musical groups.
Yeah, it was. And a tie to Wisconsin Public Radio, we had something called Let's Sing, was an old show on, and Gordon was the Pops Gordon, I think, was the guy that led that, and he had an event there where the kids from all these rural schools, and well, probably schools all over the state, really filled the stadium. I remember going to it as a little kid, and he led us in song. And so,
well, the Stock Pavilion is on the tour, and it's a building we're going to be able to take people inside of, and so we'll show them the interior space, not just the exterior architecture, which is also impressive.
Yeah, John in Madison, thanks for calling. Hello.
Hi, Stock Pavilion. Your story leads me into telling you about my experience that occurred in 1948.
Oh, my goodness.
President Truman came to town. He came to town to lay the cornerstone for the first building that CUNA Insurance built. That's the building that's on Sherman Avenue in the vicinity of Yahara River.
Mm-hmm.
The head of the CUNA were friends of my parents, and so my parents had tickets, as well as that family. Their son, my age, we got taken out of grade school. We sat in the front row. And what I remember is the number of people filled the capacity, and the entry doors were shut and secured, and the pounding on the outside for those that wanted to come in. But if you look at your history, you could fill in that the president came in 1948 to Madison and spoke at the Stock Pavilion.
Oh, what a great story. I didn't know that story.
Yeah, see what you can find.
That's what I love about this show. You always learn something new every single day. Peter, that's a great story.
It is. And Stock Pavilion has seen other famous speakers and years after Truman was there, including Martin Luther King Jr., Jane Fonda, musical performers like Marian Anderson, a great singer, and Jan Paderewski, the pianist, also performed at the Stock Pavilion.
Yeah. John, thanks a lot for calling. Karen in Madison, your turn. Hi, Karen.
Hi. I have a funny story about performances of famous people in the Stock Pavilion. In the, like, 1971, Andre Previn was very famous as a conductor, and he came and was giving a performance. The Stock Pavilion was full, so I got seats facing him as the conductor. And it was his trial that every few minutes a train came by, and he got so mad. You could see his face. He literally stopped conducting, and he was just boiling, you know, why did they put me in this place? It was really fun. He was really mad. And then after a while, I longed to show my horse in that pavilion, and I was able to get to one of the last little eye shows, little internationals that occurred. But it's a great building. Share that.
Oh, thank you, Karen. The Little International Livestock and Horse Show that was held there for many, many years. Now, the building itself, it's not round. It's oval, I guess you could say. And there's seating all the way around the building, and it goes from floor to ceiling, practically.
That's right.
And so, pretty cool place, isn't it?
Yep.
Thanks, Karen. And Susan in Madison has one for us, too. Hi, Susan.
Hi. I just wanted to add, probably in the mid-70s, I attended a concert there with Judy Collins, and she was up on stage singing her first song, and there were at least one, maybe a couple bats that kept flying around her head, and I don't know that she was really aware that they were, but the crowd was kind of chuckling and such, and she kind of, you know, wasn't sure why they were laughing, but there was these bats, and there was quite a scene.
Oh, boy. Thanks for that story. Have you heard that one before, Peter?
I really hadn't heard it, but I have often wondered what these world-famous performers thought when they came to the UW campus and were shown into this venue, the Stock Pavilion, because... And I'm really not sure why it was still being used in the 1960s and 70s, because the Memorial Union Theater was certainly there by that time, and it wouldn't have seemed necessary for me to continue to use the Stock Pavilion that way. But in any case,
and you would have, I mean, as a student, I took animal science classes and dairy science classes, and one of the things we had to do was judge cattle, and the cattle were judged in that building, the Livestock Pavilion, and then the next day you might have somebody coming in like, I don't know who, but some of the people that were just named, and they'd be performing in there, and there would be a hint of, shall we say, a hint of the aroma from the previous day's activities.
Right, yes. Well, I can only imagine the image of Wisconsin, the University of Wisconsin, some of these performers could have taken away after performing at the Stock Pavilion.
Joanne in Mequon, your turn. Hi, Joanne.
Hey, Larry, how are you?
Great, appreciate the call. What's on your mind?
Well, it's what will be on your mind. Your watch is not from New York. Your you said Waltham. It's Waltham. Waltham, Massachusetts. That's outside of Boston, and that's where your watch is from.
Oh, there we go. And it's a really good watch. It's still, my sister still has that watch, by the way, and it still works.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Well, yay, Massachusetts. Yay, Waltham.
All right. Thank you, Joanne. Appreciate the call. Well, there are other buildings we haven't even talked about. Well, one that's near and dear to my heart is Hiram Smith Hall, which is where my other office is.
Well, Hiram Smith Hall is, I think, one of the treasures that we were able to include on this tour. And one of the reasons for that, not only is it a beautiful building, but it's another hidden building. It, unless you know where it is and you make a point of going to look at it, you don't walk past it on any of the main campus roads or streets. And it was built in the early 1890s to serve as the building where students would be instructed in dairy and cheese making. This was a response. The building got built in response to the pressure that the university had in space to handle students who were flocking to the College of Agriculture at that time to learn about dairying and cheese making. And so the legislature approved the funding, and the building was actually constructed in 7 months, which at the time certainly was a record for putting up a building. And when you look at it, I know,
man,
it's been renovated and well-maintained, but when you look at it today, to erect a building of that quality in that short a period of time, I think is really something.
It really, really is. And it's... within the building, we have some. We did some work and found some of the old photographs, and so we have photos of some of the original cheesemaker classmates, and some shots of the building. I mean, there was nothing around that building when it was
That's
built.
Right.
There
That's
was
right.
So we've got some really cool, 4 feet by 4 feet photos inside the building that I think really kind of talk a little bit about the history of it. It is a wonderful, wonderful old building. And when it was remodeled, the architect really worked hard to keep a lot, of course, the wood flooring and so forth. I think a lot of people ask me, and this is true of many buildings, and I'm sure you know this, on every floor of the building, there's a large safe, a large walk-in safe. And those safes were fireproof. At the time, all of the records of students were kept within the buildings. And in case of fire, you didn't want to lose those records. So they were all, every floor had a large walk-in safe. And we use those now for storage of things, paper and whatnot. But you'll find that in a lot of the old buildings on campus. I'm certain of that.
Right, right. Larry, could I take a moment just to... inform your listeners about when this tour is going to take place?
Yeah, let's go through that, because
yes,
obviously we need to know.
Right. The tour is going to be held on October 1st, and they are going to be 90-minute tours that will leave every half hour, beginning at 10 a.m. And continuing until 2 p.m., the place where people should come to join a tour is the Allen Centennial Gardens, which is at 620 Babcock Drive. Parking is going to be available at the Steinbach ramp on campus, and which is at 1645 Observatory.
It's right across the street.
Right. And in the Trip Circle, which is at 1480 Trip Circle. Tickets for the tours are $20 for students, $25 for the members of the Madison Trust, and $30 for general admission. And you can get those tickets by going to the Madison Trust website, which is madisonpreservation.org, and ordering them online.
KP, we have those. We have that up on our Facebook page, don't we? Yeah, he says, of course we do. So if you want to go to that site and order the tickets, and once again, the dates for that, the date for that.
October 1st.
October 1st. So it's coming up, but there's still a little time to plan. So I tell you, these we haven't even covered all of the buildings. How many buildings are there on the tour?
Oh, I guess I haven't counted them. There are probably about 7 or 8.
Yeah, and they're every one of them an absolutely wonderful building. Mary in Madison has a question, a quick one for us. Hi, Mary.
Hi. I came to the UW as a freshman in 1977, mm-hmm. and I intended to live in the dorms, as you had to do back then. And the first few weeks, I had to stay down on the lakeshore near the Ag campus in something called the short course dorms.
Yeah.
And I was there for about, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 weeks before I got a room in one of the new, you know, high-rise dorms yeah. down further on campus. But I always wondered what the Ag Short Course was.
It's the farm, and Peter, I don't know, if you're familiar with it, go ahead and talk about it.
Fill me in, Larry, if I leave out anything important here. But the short courses were started in the 1880s to give young men at first only an opportunity to attend university courses for 12 weeks at a time, shorter than the normal university term, and learn the technical and the more vocational aspects of farming on the Ag campus.
And there, those, and that still goes on today, by the way, the Farm and Industry Short Course. And I think the requirement is still you don't need a college. I mean, frankly, you need to be 18 years old. That's sort of the requirement for getting in. And those dorms, Mary, are still in use and still being used today. Well, Peter, I know this tour is going to be wonderful. It's October 1st again. Go to, once again, the website is
MadisonPreservation.org.
MadisonPreservation.org. Peter Gottlieb served as president of the Society of American Archivists, 20 years the Wisconsin State Archivist with the Wisconsin Historical Society, and has been putting these tours together now since they began. So it sounds like a lot of fun. Well, we're about out of time. Thank you so much for listening. Tomorrow on Garden Talk, we'll find out what's going on at the UW Arboretum. In the meantime, please stay with us. Lots more in store here on the IdeasNet.